This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
The White House celebrating tonight as the Supreme Court upholds the administration's right to enforce Travel Ban 3.0 while the legal challenges in the lower courts play out. The ACLU and others say they will continue to fight to stop the travel ban involving eight nations, six of them majority Muslim. On the other side, the administration's also under pressure from critics who say it is not doing enough and that additional steps need to be taken to prevent terrorists from getting into this country. Christopher Farrell joins us now, Director of Investigations for Judicial Watch. Great to see you tonight.
Thanks, Shannon.
For coming in. Okay. So I want to read you a couple of reactions to this decision by the Supreme Court today. CARE, a lot of our viewers are going to be familiar with them. Their national litigation director says this decision ignores the very real human consequences to American citizens and their families abroad imposed by President Trump's Muslim ban 3.0. Their words calling it a Muslim ban. The ACLU has to say this to say, President Trump's anti-Muslim prejudice is no secret. He has repeatedly confirmed it, including just last week on Twitter. It's unfortunate that the full ban can move forward for now. Your reaction?
Well, the black letter law gives the president virtually unlimited power with respect to who enters the country. It's just that simple. And that was the question before the Supreme Court. And so the court decided correctly. They didn't invent anything. They didn't manufacture some new standard. They read what the law said. They see what the president did. And he has that authority. So it's remarkably cut and dry. And I'm very pleased that the court did not go far beyond their bounds or start inventing new tests that aren't there.
Well, how come so many other courts decided that this was unconstitutional and couldn't be enforced?
Well, because there's an agenda there, right? There's a political ideologues who, want to advance their particular position. And, you can find a judge, you can forum shop, you can figure out a way to get something in front of somebody who's going to make a decision in your favor. But ultimately, it's up to the Supreme Court to decide that.
So we know Justices Ginsburg and Sotomayor said they would not have taken this action. And now we have to wait for the case to actually get there on
sure.
the merits, because we have these two lower courts that we'll hear it this week. Could be decided before the end of the term in June. The White House said they weren't surprised by this decision, and they anticipate they will win at the Supreme Court.
And I tend to agree with them. I mean, it's going to... It has to be ripe. It has to get to the point where the Supreme Court will review it. But I think you come back to the same fundamental question. Does the president have the authority to decide who comes in and out of the country? And the answer is yes.
It hasn't changed, right? But it's Donald Trump. And it's that Trump derangement syndrome that takes place, like we've been talking about. And most people of reason can see this very clearly. And that is that you have ideologues, you have people in political offices, some that remain as part of, the deep state, the swamp, or as Mike Huckabee is referring to it, as the sewer that exists there in the Beltway. And it's just doing everything it can to resist and to muck up the waters. And, why not? Especially in light of what happened with Kate Steinle, the controversy that continues across this country regarding sanctuary states, sanctuary cities. I understand now in Gary, Indiana, there is a suit there that's taking place because the fathers there, the elected officials, have decided that they want to turn Gary, Indiana into a welcoming city, which, we're not going to call it a sanctuary state, but you know as well as I do what that means. And in principle, that violates the law, go figure, that was already in place. And it's the problem. I mean, the lawlessness that has taken place in this country, which Phil Hotzenpiller had brought to our attention with his latest book, and it is there at every turn. Just about every problem we're facing today, you can drill it down to where laws are being broken. And here we are. The president has full authority. That's the number one job of the president of the United States, is to secure its citizens. And certainly in the last previous administration, there was little done to accommodate that. And this is why Main Street came out in record numbers and said Trump is our guy. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us as we continue in our own independent manner. I know some people have said, you're not independent, you're just ornery. No, we're independent. If you perceive it as orneriness, I think that that's what people find refreshing on an independent talk radio show, is that we're free to pursue the truth no matter where it leads and talk about those things that heretofore people are hesitant to talk about. This is why we have Dan Perkins, because he's the definition of orneriness. When you go in the dictionary, there's his picture right there, probably next to mine.
Yeah.
Right, Dan?
and also, I'm also under politically incorrect.
Yes, right there.
Anti-politically incorrect.
Right, exactly. Hey, I'm doing great. Good to be talking to you. Islamic historian Dan Perkins with us. Dan writes for The Hill, many others. I mean, a long list, just a growing list of publications that you're contributing to these days, buddy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's fun and exciting. And I'm actually talking with you from Columbus, Ohio, which is the last leg of my first book tour on my new book on Why Grammy Doesn't Remember Me. And mm-hmm. Very exciting. Very exciting.
Well, let's talk about Why Grammy Doesn't Remember Me. What tell us about the book? We haven't had a chance to talk about it, but you brought it up.
Let's, Yes. It's finally out. It's been out about a week and a half. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure my review copy is somewhere in the mail, so don't worry about it.
It is. Yeah. Quite a few of them are in the mail, and I'm calling people to find out if they've got them. But I got it off the air. We need to double check the right address because you move around a lot. Anyway, the story is what I call a breakthrough book, Bill. Mm-hmm. When we look at dementia, there are three parties in dementia. Mm-hmm. There's the grandparents, yes. There's the parents, and then there's the children.
Right.
And what I've found from my research, and I did a presentation in Cincinnati on Friday morning to 140 fourth graders. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked at how many of them knew what dementia was.
Wow.
Had grandparents that were with dementia.
Mm.
And so what happens, the parents, when grandma or grandpa is diagnosed and they have to make a change in but not only her life, but their life,
mm-hmm.
The person left behind are the grandchildren.
Yeah.
They feel like, and the kids on Friday reinforced that they don't understand what's going on in grandma or grandpa's brain. They feel like maybe they've done something wrong. But
oh my gosh.
Grandma or grandpa, not to call them by name or not to talk to them.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to write a book for children ages 9 to 12 and everybody else that deals with dementia. But I did it from a perspective of two little girl detectives, 9 and 12 years of age. We don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And their journey to understand why their new customer in their detective agency came in and said, my dad says the reason my Grammy can't remember me is because she's lost her memory. Can you help me find it?
Find it. Oh, wow. Wow.
And then the last part of the book in the epilogue are 12 activities that, people can do today, starting today, to begin to preserve the memory of Grandma and Grandpa. I had dinner on Friday night with the Western Ohio, Indiana, and Northern Kentucky president of the Alzheimer's Association. She absolutely just fell in love with the book and sees a tremendous benefit of trying to teach people, not only children, but adults who don't understand what's going on in dementia. And
well, what a needed book, Dan. Congratulations on that. People, how can they get their hands on this book?
Yeah. Right now they can go to Amazon.com and buy as many copies as they want.
Yeah. Okay, just that simple. Well, we have a lot to talk about, Dan. I appreciate you taking a little bit of a detour with me to talk about this book. I know our audience appreciates all your work. Dan has written the Brotherhood of the Red Nile trilogy, which really initially brought him into the crosshairs of attention. Of course, his writing continues to make impact, as I mentioned, in many, many publications. And of course, and then you wrote another kids book here last year, which we handed off to our grandson, who is now using it as a bongo, because anything that comes in anything that comes into he's a percussionist. Anything that comes into his zip code, you know, that's his way of accepting it, is that he has to beat on it for a while. You know,
good. There's another book coming out later this month is the fourth installment in the Brotherhood of the Red Nile called Terrorist Gold, and it's a continuation of the story. That'll be out this month.
Excellent. Can't wait. Well, Dan, so much going on. Let's start with Russia, because that's in the crosshairs. I mean, this whole situation now, it's getting to the point where people are going, wait a minute, we've got $7 million invested in this thing. This is a trip down the yellow brick road without Dorothy and the Red Hills, and it's proving nothing. I mean, all we're doing is we indict Mike Flynn, who was he was the first one that the crime was made against, but yet he's the first one to be captured. But nobody's talking about the criminal activity that got him in the net and got him in trouble to begin with.
Right, and the other thing, Bill, is that have you noticed that the Democrats are not talking about Russia interference and Russian collusion anymore? It's off their playbook. Now they're totally on obstruction. And they're doing that. I think they got the message from Mueller. Hey, there ain't anything here.
Yeah, I mean, Mueller is like the definition of Swiss cheese. I mean, he's leaking everything. I mean, Comey. I mean, some of these FBI operatives. I mean, they haven't seen a leak that they haven't fallen in love with. In fact, according to Sarah Carter, there's something like 27 investigations right now for leaking, and the leaking is not in the lower echelons of the FBI. This is senior management of the FBI.
Right, right. You know, Bill, there's one thing about the FBI that I've written about, and I can't find, at least yet, anybody else in mainstream media or alternative media that's written about this. You know, we're talking about this Uranium One deal, and should the Congress appoint, or a Congress investigator, should the Justice Department add a new special prosecutor? What people know now is that prior to the vote in October of 2010, the FBI had an ongoing investigation into bribery, money laundering, and extortion that people involved in the Uranium One deal were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that had to get to the Attorney General, who was part of the secret team that voted to go ahead and sell it.
Yes.
Do you remember, Bill, who was the director of the FBI at that time?
Good question. Remind me.
Robert Mueller.
It was Mueller, yes. You know. Oh, wow. So, well, Dan, look, we're going to let people think about that for just a moment. because we're going to open this thing up as much as we can. We got 10 more minutes on the other side of the break to talk about this. We actually need about 10 hours because there are so many players and moving parts of this, so we got to give everybody the abridged edition here. So stay with us 15 minutes after the top of the hour. Dan Perkins is with us. We'll pick up the story about Russia, Russia, Russia right after this.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at BugAssault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
What is Christmas if there never was a Savior wrapped in a manger? What is Christmas if the angels never sang glory to the newborn King? What is Christmas
always will be. Merry Christmas here at Bill Martinez Live. Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour conversation with Dan Perkins continues. Dan, I said Russia, Russia, Russia. I should have said no longer Russia, 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 but collusion, collusion, collusion. This is what the Democrats are pushing on us. But, you know, it's a sad commentary for the FBI, for, you know, the thousands of FBI agents who work hard, do their job. They have, and I've talked with many retired FBI agents, and they're so frustrated to see what has happened to their institution, how it's been politicized. And they tell me time and again, they say, Bill, not at the ground level. In upper management, this is the case, and clearly this is what's coming out, is that, at first blush, you might think, well, somebody's not watching the store. But then when you dig deeper into it, you say, oh, yeah, somebody's been watching the store. And it's been, people with, evil intent that have weaponized the FBI for ideological reasons. And here is what we have today. And now we have a massive IG inspection going on for 27 leakers, and what looks to be on the horizon here is some massive shakeout of the FBI. What do you say?
I think you're absolutely, as my British friends say, spot on. But see, leadership, poor or bad leadership, I believe ultimately does affect the field agent in the local office.
Yeah, no question.
He is or she is in conflict with what the leadership is doing and the politicization of the FBI. They never really know who's going to say, well, you can't do this because. And so I do think that there is a spillover effect that is affecting, if anything, the morale of the FBI, wondering, okay, what's the, I mean, look what happened when this guy was outed. Sending detrimental tweets about Trump. The special counsel didn't tell us for 4 months that he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tell us. They didn't disclose. And so, and then we found out after the first disclosure, then we found out that his mistress is a prosecutor on the same team.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then how other people are connected to other people in a web of deception and corruption. I respectfully disagree with those people who say that it doesn't affect the rank and file. I think it does affect.
Well, I think in any institution, it always it's top down. I mean, they set the parameters. I mean, look at the Barack Obama administration. I mean, he's so micromanaged. And what did he have? I mean, the people inside are saying, look at, if you didn't say the right thing to the president, you're out of the club. You know, decoder ring you had to turn in, your secret handshake. They changed the secret handshake and got you out the door. Because if you weren't going to go along to get along, you know, that's not what it was all about. So all President Obama heard was what he wanted to hear to promote, his ideology and his agenda. And this is why Main Street America kept scratching their heads going, who's watching the story here?
Right. And so I think that what's going on is that you're seeing, for example, a whole new subterfuge of the fake media. We had Brian Ross on Friday who...
What a mess. This is a seasoned reporter. I mean, and of course, this is not the first time. So, you know, eventually this is what happens is the lies catch up with you. Your own credibility catches up with you, whether it's Matt Lauer or, Brian Ross or, Charlie Rose, Franken. I mean, it all catches up with you. John Conyers, I mean, who's now Conyers figured out the most expeditious way. And I guess to hold some sort of face and legacy is I'm retiring. But I'm voting my son in to take my place.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right.
Next generation. Yeah. So it really is a situation that it's an example of how, in my opinion, how deep the swamp is in Washington, and how what is called the deep state is still trying very hard. I mean, Dianne Feinstein, who was the vice chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, has said consistently, We have not uncovered any evidence of collusion between Trump or the Trump administration and the Russian government.
Mm-hmm.
She walked away from that this week.
But then she did an about face to what? She changed the line. So no collusion, but now it's obstruction. She's building a case for obstruction, to your point that
right.
you made earlier before
right.
we went to the break.
Yes. Yeah, they figured out that the collusion deal didn't hunt and wasn't going to hunt, so they had to find something else. And in looking at Flynn, I have to say, Bill, I'm still very confused about what he did, because everybody that I've talked to says that what he did when he was on the transition team in approaching the Russian ambassador was perfectly legal and something that he could do.
Mm-hmm.
Why, I still can't figure out why in the world he would lie about that.
Yeah, why would he lie, though? Why would he lie about it?
I don't know, Bill.
Yeah, that's the whole question of all this. And, and unless you have a transcript, of course, it was interesting because the same guy that interviewed Flynn was the same guy that interviewed Hillary. With Hillary, there was no documentation of the interview, but with Flynn, there was. It's just one contradiction after another, right?
And Hillary was not under oath. Well, I wrote a piece about that.
Mm-hmm, right.
That she was not under oath and there was no record.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I don't understand why he lied. But, okay, whatever his reason was, he lied. But that's not obstruction of justice. That's lying to the FBI. And what he did that he lied about was not illegal, was perfectly mm-hmm. acceptable.
Right.
So that's the best they got. And so that's why I think the collusion thing has disappeared. And now they want to talk about obstruction of justice. And I don't think that dog's going to hunt either.
Yeah. Well, you bring up a good point, though, if we can just rewind for just a second here regarding Flynn.
Sure.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, here is a guy who's been around for a long time. Barack Obama had him in his crosshairs. He was probably the linchpin of all this investigation and stuff that the FOIA requests are being blocked that Judicial Watch can't get their hands on. And, that complicated with the GPS fusion report. I mean, on and on. I mean, Barack Obama, as I said, he did us no favors in terms of the transition, and also, in terms of what, Hillary Clinton said and the big question that was asked of, Donald Trump by, Chris Wallace, of all people, are you willing to support whoever gets president, if you're not the one elected president, are you willing to support the next administration? And he was very honest and forthright about it. He was prepared to answer that question. Hillary Clinton, matter of fact, said, absolutely, I'm willing to. And go figure. She's the one that's been obstructing and doing everything she can to block and interfere this administration.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I saw last night a commentator suggesting that Sessions needs to unrecuse himself
mm-hmm.
because the increasing amount of evidence of wrongdoing by Hillary Clinton on the Uranium One deal
exactly.
and the Clinton Foundation needs an investigation.
Can he unrecuse himself?
I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. I suppose he could if he thought there was enough evidence to suggest that maybe this special prosecutor needs to go and there needs to be a new one to look at Uranium One and the Clinton Foundation.
Kind of amazing when you think about it. A guy like Al Franken is the guy that gets him backed into a corner to even deal with recusal to begin with. No question, you can't blame the president for being so upset with Jeff Sessions. And I think Jeff Sessions has been trying to make up for it ever since. But, hey, we still got more road to hoe. Dan Perkins, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Dan.
Anytime, sir. Thank you for having me.
You got it.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Entrepreneurs expect a solid finish to the year and are confident in the 2018 economy, according to the Fall 2017 Bank of America Small Business Owner Report. Nearly three-quarters of small business owners are optimistic their 2017 year-end revenue will surpass that of 2016. In addition, economic confidence also surged by more than 10% from last fall, as almost half of entrepreneurs expect the national economy to improve in 2018. However, growth plans remain flat from last fall, and plans to hire are down from last year. Sharon Miller, head of Small Business Bank of America.
With unemployment at record lows, business owners may be experiencing challenges in finding qualified candidates. This has led to a decline in hiring plans for the year ahead. Even with that challenge, the short-term future is very bright as entrepreneurs are upbeat about the 2018 economy.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Bill Martinez live.
Merry Christmas, movie house! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building alone!
Merry Christmas, filthy animal. And a happy new year.
Ralphie, what would you like for Christmas?
Horrified. I heard myself blurted out.
I want an official Red Ryder Cup and action 200 yards while Aaron.
No. Shoot your eye out.
Oh, no. It was the classic mother BB gun block. You'll shoot your eye out.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
How many times have you heard that? The classic mother BB gun block. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Hey, good to have you with us. It's the season. And, you know, sometimes it is a wonderful life, and it's right before our very eyes, even in the midst of tragedies that come along the way. It is tough times. Sometimes it's very difficult to get to that point to where you can see the options and the possibilities of any kind of experience that may seemingly work against our plans. Right now we're going to talk about cancer survivors, and a new survey and what it is showing in terms of what remains the number one concern for everyone. And yes, it's access to health care, but according to the CDC, the number of cancer survivors and patients will reach almost 18 million in the next decade. You know, get your brain around that number. That is huge. 18 million. Almost half will be diagnosed at a working age. As these numbers continue to increase, the need for support around survivorship issues, such as working during and after treatment, is becoming more and more important. A new survey conducted by Harris Poll on behalf of Cancer and Careers shows the majority of cancer patients and survivors continue to work during and after treatment for financial reasons. Interestingly, the motivations to work approach to disclosing a cancer diagnosis and satisfaction with healthcare can be vary greatly across genders. For example, women were more likely than men to feel like they had no choice but to work during treatment. With us right now to talk about this, Kathy Flores. She is a cancer survivor and a career coach, and Rebecca Nellis, executive director with Cancer and Careers. Ladies, good to have you with us. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you for having us.
Hey, good to have you here. You know, it's interesting, Kathy, with you being a cancer survivor, you're a career coach, and through this experience, you fought, and I think you and I talked about this before, is that you realized that one of the tools that you could use to fight cancer is to, be a support agent to other survivors and other people that were experiencing what you had experienced, right?
You know, that's true. I, as a career coach, really searched for somewhere where I could use those skills once I got into my recovery phase, and I found cancerandcareers.org. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to say that I've been able to be a career coach volunteering with them since probably 2006. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, I'm so thrilled that these resources are available through cancerandcareers.org to help people like myself go through the same kinds of questions that I had about whether or not I was going to be able to maintain my job and my productivity through the course of my treatment and afterward.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rebecca is the executive director of Cancer and Careers. Why is the topic of cancer in the workplace so important?
Well, I think you touched on it a little bit. As these numbers are growing of survivors, which is phenomenal, it means that science is working, medicine is working, and we're seeing people live longer, live past their active treatment phase, and all of those things. The work issues always existed, but as we see more survivorship and we start to understand what the impact of surviving really means, what to do about work has only grown in importance. And mm-hmm. so it's important for us to think about, partially because the worst thing I hear, I've been doing this work for almost 14 years, is I wish I'd known about you sooner.
Exactly.
So one of the reasons to talk about it is to help people know that there is actually information support programs out there about work and cancer. But the other thing is because we don't think about this unless it happens to ourselves or someone we love.
Mm-hmm.
And so to help people understand that the work piece is actually a really big part of the overall puzzle for someone who gets diagnosed is critical, because that will inform and influence employers in terms of how they act and influence healthcare professionals in terms of how they think about why work matters to their patients. And so talking about it more helps us all demystify what that work component looks like and allows us to have really good conversations that help actual individual people do what they need to do day to day to both survive their cancer treatment but also thrive in their workplace.
Exactly. Kathy, Rebecca brings up a good point in terms of productivity and what it does for self-esteem. It's tough enough that you're having to deal with cancer, and in the past, because it was such a mystery, people thought it was just an absolute death sentence, and they were just going to be put up on the shelf and stored there until they passed away. Today we know different. There's treatments. We hear success stories anecdotally of people's success in dealing with cancer. And one of the things I hear over and over again, this is anecdotally, Kathy, but I want your opinion on this, is that for them to be able to continue to work was huge for their self-esteem and their sense of enthusiasm, to combat this, because you need a positive attitude to deal with something that has negatively impacted you, right?
Absolutely. Work was such a big part of my life. And, this corresponds with what I hear from the people that I coach on cancer and careers. But bottom line, work was important for health insurance and finances, but it was more important for the sanctuary, the place that it gave me that was normal.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to keep my self-image when all my physical identity was changing so much. And
right.
I was able to retain some really important relationships and continue to have a place where I would have impact and also where I could focus. And the mm-hmm. routine of focusing every day and having to stay up kept me engaged in the world when I could have gone into a hole and curled up in my big red chair that I used to do at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me put the worry on the back burner so that
exactly.
I could keep positive about the fact that I had a future and that I still had something to give.
I think that's pretty much why people work. They work because it's their identity. They work because it gives them something, and they work because they want to give something back.
Yeah, exactly. Rebecca, let's go into some detail on the survey results. Can you break it down for our audience, some of the highlights?
Absolutely. So, in fact, the data supports what Kathy just said. So what we heard in this year's Harris poll was that 65% felt work positively impacted their lives by helping them cope. Think about that. We're now seeing work as a coping mechanism, a positive in that way. It helped them feel normal and productive. It provided a routine. It kept their mind off cancer.
Exactly.
So many things that are about so much more than just health insurance and a paycheck and other benefits. Those absolutely factored in. They are always ranked highly in terms of what's important to people, of course, because unfortunately we all aren't independently wealthy and most of us need to work, right?
I'm
not discounting those reasons at all. What we want to do is help people see the full spectrum and also help people feel normal that they look to work, as Kathy said, a sanctuary, that that's not unusual, that the norm isn't to feel like you should get out of work as fast as you can, but that work is really an important component in our lives. Think about it. When was the last time someone asked you what your favorite book was instead of what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt.
Right.
Yes, exactly. No, I hear you loud and clear on that. Kathy, was there any differential between men and women in the survey with cancer?
Well, I can tell you that Rebecca is a little more well-versed in the survey than I am, but there were some differences. Women tended to disclose more than men, and women tended to work more for financial reasons than men and felt that they didn't have as much choice whether or not to work during treatment. That was 47% women versus 36% men. And I think that women felt very much more supported than men did, but they disclosed more so that there was more opportunity for women to get some support from their coworkers. Rebecca, what else am I missing?
I think you actually covered it incredibly well. I think the only other piece I would mention is, though we saw this really interesting nuance between men and women in this particular round of the survey, the truth is day-to-day what we do with patients and survivors isn't dependent on gender. The issues, the questions, the concerns, the things to think about, that's true because of being an employee or someone seeking employment versus something specific about your gender. So we did note these differences, but we don't want people to get wrapped up in
it. Well, we got to leave it there, ladies. Thank you so much for being with us. Rebecca Nellis and Kathy Flora on Bill Martinez Live.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Plus, call right now and get a free report on how to avoid costly Medicare mistakes. Call now.
855-301-5506. 855-301-5506. 855-301-5506. That's 855-301-5506.
This is Dan Perkins for your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. In many parts of the country, it's starting to get cooler, and some areas have already had a significant amount of snow. Perhaps where you live, rapid changes in temperatures, highs and lows, can make you susceptible to getting a cold or even the flu. One of the places veterans have forgotten about for getting their flu shots is the Veterans Administration. So here's your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. Go to the VA.gov website and find your closest community health care center. Give them a call and see if they're giving flu shots now. And if not, find out when they're going to start. Ask about what days and times they will administer the shots and the best time for you to come. And by the way, while you're on the phone with them, ask them about pneumonia shots. Get your shots now and avoid the long lines during flu season standing in front of all those sick people. This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
I remember when people used to say things like Merry Christmas to each other. Everybody said Merry Christmas. Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Lowenstein. You know why? Because it wasn't about a religion. It was about something as a culture we thought was so valuable that we'd all do it together, even if I disagreed with the religion behind it, because it was good for all of us instead of just me. But what do people say now? Happy holidays. See, I just say happy holidays because I don't want to say Christmas because you don't believe in Christmas because I don't want to offend you.
Reminding us of what makes our country great. It's called Christmas. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, you've come to the place where we've always said Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for sharing in the sentiment. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It is time for the one and only Andrea Kay. Boy, lots of conversation around the cooler these days. I mean, it is nonstop. It's almost like more conversation happening around the cooler than, work in the workplace, Andrea.
Well, that's right. So, maybe somebody needs to stop all the shock and awe of all these scandals and everything happening in D.C. so that employers can get their people back to work.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we had Conyers decide he's going to retire. I guess that's some, that gives him some sort of face. And, of course, he wants to hand the baton off to his son. That's pretty brazen, I think, all things considered. I mean, there was another story I was reading this morning about Conyers just to, demonstrate. I mean, if this is true, this man had lots of issues, that he was even, even offending a woman in church.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's true, I mean, this has really gone over. And this is the thing you got to be careful about, is that with all this stuff, whether you're talking about Al Franken or whoever, or, the list goes on and on, Charlie Rose, it's like endless, and Matt Lauer, and you think, oh my gosh, do we really? But, the fact of the matter is we've got to get this all out and clean it up if we're really going to answer it. Otherwise, we're just going to go into a big circle like we did back in 99 with Bill Clinton. And look what happened. Time Magazine decided, their person of the year was a hashtag.
Well, fortunately, there's lots of reasons for legitimate people of the year or person of the year. It's interesting because, when Time Magazine has to do a hashtag, it's because, they're part of the far left liberal media establishment, and they can't even consider actual, being a person of the year, being somebody conservative or somebody Republican.
Right.
It's like if they can't find somebody whose crimes against women or whose the corruption, if they can't find somebody who's got that properly hidden so that they can be person of the year, then they don't have anybody that they can put forth. But it's interesting about Conyers and the church thing, because we know that abuse is all about power. Whether it's emotional abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, or sexual abuse, it's all about power. Here is a man who, Creepy Conyers, was like Filthy Filner, who the Democrats knew for decades walked around the halls of Congress abusing everybody. And when calls for him to resign, because there is a difference also, by the way, between unsubstantiated claims, because anybody can claim anything, versus actual evidence or cooperation. This is the man who used taxpayers' funds to pay out settlements. So I think we can say the claims were corroborated. He, when he called for him to resign came out, he said, I decide. I will, me and me alone, me, myself, and I, my three favorite people, Conyers said,
right,
we
yes.
will decide when I go. And I thought, this man literally thinks of himself as God.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he is so powerful that he doesn't have to answer to anybody. And then I hear about these church revelations. I'm like, yeah, this guy thinks he's God. He
yeah.
thinks he's got power over everybody. He's even perving out in church. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is nuts. Well, you know, getting back to the Silence Breakers acknowledged as the person of the year, who was the original Silent Breaker? Who came up with this? I mean, Ashley Judd, I all of a sudden her picture's there, and I don't connect with Ashley Judd on this whole deal. Do you?
No, I don't, particularly since there's revelations coming out that when she was auditioning people for a movie on sex trafficking, she was expecting them to actually play it out, play out the scenes in the audition process. And as somebody who has auditioned for movies and commercials and different things, that is a boundary that's not supposed to be crossed. And
exactly.
This is also a woman who participated in a pink hat rally calling, you know, saying she's a nasty woman and calling out the Republicans for their abuse of women while all this was going on for decades, and she knew about Harvey Weinstein and she knew about.
Well, and she's complicit, like you said, herself. I mean, as a producer and, you know, and staging the things that she did. I mean, no different than what Al Franken did he?
Well, yeah, exactly. Not to mention the fact that do not tell me, Hollywood, this is one reason why I said when the Weinstein story broke that this was forever the nail in the coffin of Hollywood, pretending that they've got any, that they are the voice of morality and particularly the voice that cares about women. When you are partnering with Linda Sarsour, who is literally advocating for Sharia in this country, that under Sharia, women are oppressed to the point where it is okay for honor killings. You can rape. Women are stoned for being raped, female genital mutilation of little girls. And that's who Ashley Judd is standing with on a stage. So, no, I don't want to hear anything from Ashley Judd.
Right. Well, you know, the campaign itself, no question whatsoever. I mean, the hashtag MeToo, boy, I'll tell you, it really opened up this thing in a big way and has allowed women and men who have been abused over the years to come out and address this. And, you know, I congratulate and, you know, time for noting it. I just question, you know, the people that they're using. But again, as to your earlier point, Ashley Judd serves, you know, serves their agenda purpose, but, you know, they could find out later on that she might be one of the monuments taken down.
Yeah, and you know, I, as a woman who was a victim of sexual harassment in the workplace and also, you know, personally, I'm not one that's a real big supporter of this hashtag MeToo movement. I think that a lot of times these hashtag movements, kind of like, remember when 200 girls were taken by Boko Haram. I don't think they've ever been recovered. And it was Michelle Obama started the, you know, release Save Our Girls or whatever it was. These hashtag movements are really easy to sit behind and do a hashtag and not actually have to do anything that actually helps anybody.
I agree. Without substance, it's worthless. But in this particular case, this opened up something that needed to be opened up. And there's no question. I mean, the challenge you have right now is how do you adjudicate some of this stuff, because you're going to have people to take advantage of this and go overboard. So there still needs to be reason here in how to address the, you know, these complaints, and they're, you know, they have to be treated as all legitimate. I understand and respect that.
But, you know, we just don't want to get carried away and end up with something like a Duke lacrosse kind of deal, just all in the name of hashtag Me Too, because then that delegitimizes, and it also delegitimizes the effort and the pain, the genuine pain that women are going through, Andrea, that need, all this stuff needs to be addressed in some form or fashion, whether it's with a therapist or whatever, that now, because all these women are coming out and you realize, hey, you know what, I'm not the only one. And now I can come out of the shadows and address this and be healthy. God bless you. Go make it happen. But, you know, when we get carried away and we want to drink, you know, drag it out into society. And I say drag it out, I mean, we're trying to, you know, make it something that it isn't. That's what we have to be careful. I think there's something, you know, pure and right about this in terms of vacating this issue and really addressing the infection that is caused in our society. And that's what I'm looking for right now and protecting, is that we look at it that way and not get carried away, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, not get carried away, because when we've got, I can't remember what the media outlet was, we've got some reporter saying that every allegation should be automatically believed, that we should now become a country of guilty until proven innocent, and if innocent men lose their reputations in their lives, that's okay. I'm not okay with that. As a woman who suffered sexual harassment in the workplace, I am not okay with every allegation being automatically believed, because that diminishes real cases.
Exactly. That's the whole point. Exactly.
Yeah, and there should be real processes. I would prefer that they use an actual person, an actual woman who came forward, not a celebrity, who actually came forward in a timely fashion, didn't sit back and tolerate it for 20 years for the advancement of her career, only then when she's reached the pinnacle, or once she's retired, or once her contract gets canceled at Fox News, then suddenly she decides she's going to come forward and call herself a hero. How about putting forth an everyday woman who called a halt to it in the workplace when it happened? And I could tell you I was one of those people who actually launched investigation in the company I worked for. The investigation had processes and procedures in place to investigate claims, not automatically believe it. If corroborated, the person lost their job. That's what we need to see. And instead of some woman who's got a claim, and instead who says she's got an allegation, and instead of going to the proper authorities, she waits 40 years to go to Gloria Allred and does a presser in order to affect an election.
Well, yeah, and I think that the term courageous is being overused. You're exactly right. The women who have really paid the price, that stepped up and said it's not going to happen, that careers were changed, they didn't make it to the big screen, they didn't make it to the big, you know, corner office, they had to start another career, and their education went by the wayside because of sexual abuse in the workplace, and they stood up to it. Those are the ones that I agree with you that need to be celebrated.
Yeah.
And some of their stories are getting lost in translation because of, like you said, you know, yes, we're shocked to hear that somebody has been dealing with this for 40 years, carrying this pain around with them. And you go, my God, how can you, you know, you can do this. I mean, I feel for you. And this is a, as much as I can, I mean, I can only imagine what you must have gone through. But to me, yeah, I guess, you know, courage is relative. You know, you got 40 year after the fact courage, and then you've got courage that happened right there at the right there in the marketplace at that moment in time. And you put it all on the line, and you believed in your values so much so that you were going to walk away and stand in the face of this kind of abuse. That is, boy, that's standing alone, isn't it?
Well, I'm probably not standing alone anymore. My hope is that the hashtag MeToo translates into people actually doing what you just described.
Exactly. Yeah, when I say standing alone at that moment in time,
right,
and especially
exactly
40 years ago or 30 years ago, even 10 years ago, you know, but
yes,
today we have the sisters, you know, the sisterhood coming together and, you know, coming against this and others as well. Andrea Kay on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, AK.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.